Well, welcome again. It's so great to see everyone here this morning. We continue our journey of faith with Abraham and Sarah, and as we go through the story of Abraham and Sarah, I've challenged all of us to look at our own journey of faith and to see the spiritual lessons that we can learn and grow together in faith with them. We are in Genesis chapter 21, verses 22 through 34, and this morning we're looking at the lesson of planting a seed. All that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, said to Abraham, God is with you in everything that you do. Now swear to me here before God that you will not deal falsely with me or my children or my descendants. Show to me and the country where you now reside as foreigners the same kindness I have shown to you. Abraham said, I swear it. Then Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized. But Abimelech said, I don't know who has done this. You did not tell me, and I heard about it only today. So Abraham brought sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, and two men made a treaty. Abraham set apart seven ewe lambs from the flock, and Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these seven lambs that you have set apart by themselves? He replied, accept these seven lambs from my hand as a witness that I dug this well. So this place was called Beersheba because the two men swore an oath there. After the treaty had been made at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, commander of his forces, returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the eternal God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines for a long time. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, this morning we're looking at the lesson of planting a seed, and the lessons of life, as you probably know, and learning those lessons are important. I heard about this pastor who wanted to make a visual demonstration of his sermon, and so at the start of the message, he put out four separate jars and put a worm in each one of those jars. And so in the first jar, he had a jar of alcohol, and he put a worm in that. And then he had a second jar, he had a jar of cigarette smoke, he put a worm in there. A third jar, and it was filled with chocolate syrup, and so he put a live worm in there. And then finally a fourth jar that had good soil in it, and he put a worm in there. Put tops on all of them, and then at the end of the sermon, he gave the results, and he looked at the first jar, the jar with alcohol in it, and the worm was dead. And then he looked at the second jar, and that was a jar with cigarette smoke in it, and the worm was dead. And then the third jar, the jar of chocolate, looked at it, the worm was dead, and finally, in the jar with good soil, the worm was alive. And so he asked the congregation what was the lesson that was learned. Well, there was complete silence throughout the congregation, and finally, little Maxine in the back of the congregation raised her hand. She said, I know, and he called her and said, what is it? And she said, as long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. And that pretty much ended the service. So, you know, the lessons of life are important, aren't they? And we look at a lesson this morning, and we think about planting a seed and growing a tree and some shade. And I'm reminded of the importance of shade in my own life. I did not grow up in a home that had air conditioning. I grew up in northwestern Pennsylvania. We grew up in an old farmhouse. And so we used what was called New England air conditioning. I don't know how many people know what New England air conditioning is out there. And so the deal is this. On a hot day, you open the windows on the shaded side of the house. And then on the other side of the house that's the sunny side, you open those windows and you put fans in them to blow the wind out. And so it sucks air from the shaded side and pushes it out through the sunny side. Now that works okay until about 85 degrees, in which we all gave up ship and went swimming. So that's New England air conditioning, in case you're wondering about that. Now I do appreciate an air conditioning in my home, and I don't think my daughter would know what to do without it. I know there's other times in life where we enjoy air conditioning. My daughter and I traveled to Florida on vacation this past summer, and I don't know that it was that much hotter down there, maybe 10 degrees, but I'll tell you one thing, the sun shines brighter. And when you leave a vehicle in the sun in Florida in June or July and you come back, it's just sweltering hot. So when we went to Walmart, we would circle the parking lot waiting for a shaded spot to open up and try to get in there. But you know, everybody that's been down there for a while, they're all fighting for those shaded spots. And so it was quite an occasion when we were trying to almost fight for a shaded spot. Well, I think that lesson is important to us this morning as we look at the value of shade. And so as we walk back into this story, the story is this. Abraham now, over 100, Sarah about a decade behind him, They finally had Isaac, this baby that they've been promised by God through a miracle of God. And now they have spent some time in the promised land that's been promised to them, but they're really not in possession of the land. Abraham, some time ago, had dug a well, and there's nothing quite as precious as a well in a desert region. But it turns out that some of the servants of the king Abimelech, who dwelt in that land and had a large portion of control of that land, had taken over that well. Well, Abraham goes and he meets with Abimelech, and Abimelech can sense God's blessing in Abraham and Sarah's life. And so he asks him to bless him. And Abraham said, I'd be happy to do that. He invites him to dwell safely in the land. And then at that point, Abraham brings up this issue with the well. He said, well, you know, your servants have taken over this well. I dug it, but I'd be happy to give you an offering of livestock for that. And Abimelech says, well, listen, today is the first I've heard of this issue. And so they agree that that would be okay. And they sign what is known as, in history, the Treaty of Beersheba, which is an important treaty because Abraham really needed that well. And so when Abimelech and the leader of his forces leave, then Abraham takes a moment and he gives thanks to God and he plants a seed. And it's the seed of a tamarisk tree that he may never see grow, certainly will never see grow to its full height. And it's an interesting moment. It's an interesting lesson in God's word. I think it's rich in some lessons for us this morning as we think about that. And I think there's a number of things that we can learn from that, because in the first place is that Abraham gave thanks. And you know, it wasn't as if everything was smooth in Abraham's life. He had, after all, been sort of fussing with his servants over this well. There's nothing quite so key as a well when you're in a desert kind of region. It's not complete desert, but it's very arid in that region. But Abraham had also experienced some family problems. The issues with Hagar and Ishmael had kind of bubbled over, and so Abraham really knew all the problems of blended family like you couldn't believe. And so Abraham could have chose to dwell on the negative things of his life, but he chose to dwell on the things that were positive in his life and to give thanks. And I think that's an important lesson for all of us. And so the first thing to think about, I think, is that to give thanks in our own lives for those who have blessed us. Now, the tamarisk tree, as you may or may not know, is an interesting tree. It's one of the trees that can grow in the desert. In fact, today, in regions of China and Africa and other regions that are dealing with the loss of grasslands and the desert encroaching, are using tamarisk trees along that border to try to reclaim some of the desert land. And so it's very hardy. It's of the cedar family, and it grows. It's an evergreen, and it gives great shade in the desert region. Nothing quite as good as shade in desert region, as I can tell you, as I fought for shade for parking at Walmart in Florida. And so Abraham knows that. Abraham knows how important that is, and he plants that tamarisk tree, the seed, near the well. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Because if you think about that, Abraham's not going to see it grow, but maybe Abraham, for a moment, was thinking about those who have sort of planted a tree and left shade for him that he has been blessed on from generations before him. He may have been thinking about the servants who dug the well, but certainly he can appreciate that. And I just wonder, as we think about our own lives, who are those in your life who sort of planted a seed that has touched your life? I know as we're all sitting in this beautiful sanctuary, we can think about those who had the faith and sort of the audacity and the willingness to share of their financial resources to build this beautiful sanctuary, and we benefit from it, right? That took some faith. We had two churches that merged while two denominations were merging as well. And they took a risk and they did a beautiful job. And I know that generations have taken care of it as well. I think maybe there's other people you can think of in your life. There may have been a teacher who planted the seed in your life. Maybe it was a career or just to do better in whether it was reading or science, math, whatever it was. But someone planted a seed in your life and they nurtured you so you'd become who you are today. Maybe it was a person who helped you discover a gift or talent that you really didn't pay much attention to up until then. But there's people in our own lives who have touched our lives. I know in my own life, my father wasn't really a person much of faith, and so my mother always made sure that we went to church camp so we would see some strong leaders in faith, other than just our family even, and church camp made an impact on my life. But there was a Sunday school teacher by the name of Junior Scott. And Junior was a great guy, just a farmer and just a man of the earth. But he also worked in a factory in second shift, so he was busy all the time. And it wasn't just, you know, kind of corn or beans. I mean, he did it all. He had milk cows, corn, beans, all of it. So he was busy all the time. But he always had time for us. And he taught our Sunday school class, which was the teen class, you know. That's not an easy class to teach. And we would often get Junior off track, but he would always come back to some lesson of faith from his life that he would share with us. And he always had time to listen. He'd say, listen, I'm pretty busy, but feel free to come out to the farm anytime, and you can ride around on a tractor with me, and we'll talk. And I often did that in my own life. I'd go out to the farm and help him do some chores, and then we'd maybe go out on a tractor in the field and, you know, sit there. And as we were driving out there, even sometimes late at night with the lights on, why, we'd share, and he'd always have a lesson of faith. And even if he didn't have a lesson of faith, he had time to listen. And then he'd say, all right, well, let's go back to the house and have ice cream. And so 11 o'clock at night, we'd go back and have ice cream at his house. And it was just great. And he planted a seed of faith. He left some shade for me that made a difference in my life. And I'd want you to take a moment to think about the people who've invested in you, who've made a difference in your life, who planted a seed in your life and left some shade that would make a difference. Maybe it's sort of a spiritual awning that in the, you know, the arid times of life that you fought, that you were able to find some shade and some respite and to relax for a moment in life. And so there's people like that, and we've all experienced that. And so that's one part of it, but there's another part, too, that I think is important. Who are we planting a seed for today? Who are we thinking about the next generation? Now, I don't want to just skip over the environmental part of this. I mean, I think it's important to realize that Abraham had a concern about the environment. He planted a tree, and so God has made us stewards of our creation, so we want to take care of that. But it's even deeper than that. I mean, who are you planting a seed in the life of that you might not see that tree grow that's going to make a difference down the road? Are you taking time to plant a seed and to leave some shade? In modern slang today, to throw shade is not a good thing. A lot more people knew that in the contemporary service. To throw shade is to give a sarcastic look at someone, you know what I mean? That look. And you can look on social media, there's all kinds of Hollywood celebrities kind of throwing shade at someone they don't like or something. There's all these sort of famous memes out there you can see. So that's not the kind of shade we're talking about. This is the kind of shade that you leave shade for someone that's good. It's going to make a difference in their life. I can think of moments in the church history, think in the Bible for a moment, how that Paul planted a seed in Timothy's life. Paul mentored Timothy and took him everywhere that he went on his missionary journeys, even spent some time in prison together as Paul was thrown in prison, and made a difference, and he planted that seed in Timothy. Timothy, of course, ended up pastoring churches and making a difference, and in a sense, Paul has also planted a seed in our life by writing letters to the churches that we read today, that are letters to us as well. And I think that's important. This past weekend, the senior youth put on a retreat for the junior youth. I think that was a real new moment in the life of our senior youth and our youth program that they were willing to kind of, and even excited about, putting on a retreat. And so it was nice to see our senior youth talking, and it was nice to hear my daughter say that she didn't think she could ever do a talk. Now, for me, it's not hard to see that because I see her talking a lot. She gets a lot of practice at that, but she's pretty good at talking, as a matter of fact. But I knew that she'd be good to talk, and our other youth as well, and adults too, as they're sort of growing in that. You know, we're all growing, and if we learn to plant seeds in the lives of others, we may not see that tree grow to full height, but we can see the impact that it makes and know that it makes an impact down the road. It reminds me that you're never too young to plant a seed of faith. And so our senior youth sort of reached out and planted the seed of faith and nurtured the seed of faith in our junior youth, and they left some shade in a good way. I think also of the relationship between Naomi and Ruth. You recall the book of Ruth in the Old Testament scriptures, and so Naomi and Ruth. Naomi was up in years. She had lost her husband. Ruth was her daughter-in-law. She had lost her husband. They end up going from Moab, the foreign country, back to the land of Israel. And Naomi is the older woman, and she helps Ruth navigate the culture and to eventually to help her discover the new love of her life in Boaz, and helps her to live a life. She plants a seed in her life. And there are those that you and I can mentor in life. We're not trying to control their life. We're trying to plant a seed. We're trying to make a difference in their life and help them discover their gifts and talents in amazing ways. If you look at the history of the tamarisk tree in the Bible, you'll see some interesting moments. And one moment is obviously this moment when Abraham plants this seed, but and it becomes a tamarisk tree. But also Hagar and Ishmael, when they're on the run, so to speak, and Abraham has sort of set them out of the house because of conflict with Sarah and with Isaac, and they're looking for a place for shade and respite. They find shade and respite under a tamarisk tree. When King Saul is being pursued by his enemies, and he's looking for a place to just find shade in the midst of the desert and the heat of the day, he finds shade under a tamarisk tree. And I wonder what Abraham thought when he planted that tree. We're not given privy to a lot of his thoughts, but he had to be realizing in that moment that he was going to make a difference for someone else in their life. And you know, Abraham had a choice. He did have something to give thanks for to God, that treaty with Abimelech and recovering that well in his possession, which would make a difference really in the foothold of the land, would become the promised land. But Abraham had just gone through a moment where he had this horrible sort of family conflict, really experienced a tremendous conflict of a blended family before we called it that, with Hagar and Ishmael. And so, and he had experienced a choice here, but he could sort of dwell on the conflict that he'd been through and the pain, that heartache that had caused him, or he could take a moment and give thanks for this moment that he could celebrate with this Treaty of Beersheba and the well. And Abraham would give him the choice between, am I going to dwell on the negative or am I going to dwell on the positive? Am I going to sort of think about the thing to be discouraged about, or am I going to give thanks? Abraham chose to give thanks. And he did it in a tangible way. He planted a seed that would make a difference in future generations. Now, I don't know what you can do to plant a seed. Maybe it's to mentor somebody. Maybe it's to teach a Sunday school. Maybe it's to help with the youth program. Maybe it's a financial gift that will keep on giving for generations. Maybe it's your gift of time. You know, time is one of our most valuable assets today. Maybe it's using your gift to help mentor someone else in music or in helping someone to learn to read. There's tons of ways, or just sharing your faith with a young person who's struggling or someone who's a decade younger than you that's struggling. There's lots of ways that we can give back. And when we do that, we leave shade in a profound and lasting way. So I challenge us, listen in closing again to Proverbs 13:22. A good person leaves an inheritance to his children's children. When you plant a seed, you don't just make a difference for the next generation, but also the generation following them and on down through history. What Abraham did in that moment made a difference there. And Abraham also planted a seed of faith that made a difference for generations and has even come down to us today. I wonder, later in life, when Abraham was continued to be up in years, if he wondered what was happening at that tamarisk tree. He didn't get to see it go to full height. But as I was studying this week, I was thinking about that scene in Hebrews. Remember where the writer of Hebrews is writing about this image of the cloud of witnesses? And it's this image of this like amphitheater, like an Olympic amphitheater that's watching these runners run. And he says, you know, we can be inspired because those who've gone before us, these great generations, are looking down. Abraham and Moses and all these great people are looking down. And I wonder, too, that if Abraham, maybe from that cloud of witnesses, is looking occasionally at that tamarisk tree, and he's seeing the person who is languishing and needs a moment to have water and shade, and he sees that traveler and maybe that mother and son or father and daughter, and they're taking a moment beneath the tamarisk tree, and for generations he isn't able to look down and say, I'm glad I planted that tree. I think you and I will have that same opportunity, maybe not in the same way, but you and I have an opportunity today not just to appreciate the seeds that have been planted for us and the generations who have touched our lives, but you and I also are able to show thanks and to plant a seed that will make a difference in someone's life. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, so often we are tempted to look at the things that would discourage us in life. But we look at Abraham in this moment and he chose to give thanks. And he chose to do it in a way that would touch generations to come. He planted a seed. He left shade for those who would need that. Lord, help us also to take the moments of life and to take time and to plant a seed of faith, a seed of encouragement, a seed of prayer. There's so many ways that we can do that. Lord, help us to know that we won't just impact the person whose lives we touch there, but a generation and generations to come. Through your power of your Holy Spirit, we pray this all in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.